December ushers us into Advent. As we now press, we've had a chance to celebrate Thanksgiving, even though there were some who tried to skip it. We had a chance to celebrate Thanksgiving, and now we are pressing toward the celebration of Christmas Day. Christmas Day being, of course, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the time that has been identified on our calendars that we acknowledge that Jesus came in the flesh, that he left his place in heaven and came and made his dwelling among humanity. It is that day that we acknowledge that it is true what God has declared. And so while we are pressing our way to Christmas Day, Advent also has at the center of his heart remembering that he shall return. And so we cannot think about the birth of Christ without also thinking about the death of Christ, without also thinking about the return of Christ. And so in Christmas, all of it centers upon no one other than Jesus Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection, and his return. So when we talk about Advent, Advent has at its core this idea of waiting. Amen. So we are in the waiting period. We're waiting on the return of Christ. And when you and I start to think about and celebrate Christmas, celebrating the coming, the incarnation of Christ, it should give us hope. And so as we prepare today for this first Sunday in the Advent season, we are going to be talking about hope today. Amen. We're going to be talking about hope. And I want to go to one of my favorite scriptures. One of them, right? Because I got plenty. Amen. Amen. One of them, Romans chapter 15. And I want to look specifically at verse number 13. So if you would, turn in your Bibles, go to it on your device, Romans chapter 15. And we want to look specifically at verse number 13. And if you don't mind, can you stand once more to your feet? And let's read this verse together. Once you found it on your device in your Bible, let's read it together from the screen. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. Let's read together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask that, Lord, you will anoint God, my tongue, with grace and truth. Make it like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, anoint our ears that we may hear what your Spirit has to say. And prepare, God, our hearts to receive your truth so that, God, when we walk and live by faith, it may yield a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so today, as we think about hope in the Advent season and coming out of this scripture, I want to stay with the theme that we have been talking about, or that word that I have been stuck on. And I want to talk about overflowing with hope. Overflowing with hope. I'm going to warn you up front. I've gotten stuck with overflowing. And so we're going to be overflowing all through the month of December. Amen. This week, we're talking about overflowing with hope. And let me share with you why I have gotten stuck on overflowing. Because the last part of that scripture says, you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has been saying to us that you and I need to stop treating his spirit with an attitude of scarcity, that we are not impoverished of his spirit. For he says that he has given us all of his spirit, everything that we need for life and for godliness. And he says that everything that you do in this life will be done by and through the power of his spirit. He says you need to stop acting like you don't have enough of his spirit to be able to do what he has called you to do. In fact, he says we are overflowing with his spirit. He says, you and I need to start acting like, living like, talking like we are overflowing with the Spirit of the living God. It is the Spirit of the living God that gives us life and power. And he says, you need to start acting like he is powerful. And he says, just keep on working with that word overflowing. Overflowing. You are filled up to the brim and you cannot contain what's at work on the inside of you. In fact, he says, if you will let him have his way, he will transform the way you think. He will transform the way you talk. He will transform the way you live so that you are conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, so that wherever you go and whatever you do, you are acting like Jesus. And you remember how Jesus acted. Everywhere he went, he was tearing down strongholds by the devil. So you and I are overflowing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And today he talks about hope. So we are overflowing with hope. One scripture says this: you don't hope for the things that you already have. Amen. Once you receive it, you're no longer hoping for it. Now you are walking in it. Or you are enjoying it. So hope talks about this future view of something that you are waiting for to be fulfilled or accomplished in your life or in someone else's life. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't just hope for me. I hope for other folks too. Amen. When I learn that you are not feeling well, my hope enters into the place of where God's healing power will be manifest in your body. That's me no longer hoping just for me. Now I'm hoping for somebody else. And it's a shame if all you're doing is hoping for yourself. Amen. In fact, the Spirit of God will not allow us to be selfish. Why? Because the Spirit comes to make us like Jesus Christ. And Jesus wasn't selfish. If Jesus had been selfish, he would have kept his place in glory. But because he loved you and me so much, he laid aside his glory, if you would allow me to say that, and he came and put on human flesh because he said that he would come to redeem us from an empty way of life. So it is his hope that we stand in. So hope is future looking. Amen. And as you know, future is what? The next second. And it also extends into the return of Christ. Future looking. Future is beyond the moment that I am in, because at any moment now, God is going to do something different. So that means that my moment now, even if it's tied up in tough circumstances, I know in the next moment it can change. And I know that my hope is centered on God's ability to do more than I could ever ask, think, or imagine according to his power that is at work in me. And so my hope then is forward looking, but it's also centered on who God is. See, our hope as believers is never centered in ourselves. It is never centered in our own ability. It's never centered in our own resources. It's never centered in self. In fact, when it gets centered in self, it is no longer hope. It is now arrogance and pride. Pride comes before a fall. So that's just a trigger. If I ever find out that my hope is stuck in me, if I start thinking about what I can do, me, that's just a trigger where, you know what? You need to shake yourself out of that. Say, oh God, I'm sorry. I had my eyes in the wrong place. Thank you for slapping me a couple of times and opening up my eyes so that I could elevate them and move them from me and move them to the one who is able to do. So Christ then becomes the center of our hope. As you and I, it's my practice, and I hope it becomes your practice as well. When I enter into the month of December, I begin to rehearse, read, and go back and review the Christmas story. You know, the story about when the angel came to see Zechariah when he was standing in front of the altar and he was praying for the people. The angel comes and says to him, God has heard your prayer. Zechariah praying for the people, but he and Elizabeth had been praying for a child and also praying for the Messiah. God says to Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. Zechariah, startled by the angel's presence and even dumbfounded by the announcement of the angel, is blown away that God would come to visit him or send an angel to visit him to give him what he had hoped for a long time ago. We go back and we revisit those stories. And as you and I revisit those stories, not just about Zechariah, but about Mary. When she is in a place by herself, the same angel that had visited Zechariah now comes and visits Mary and says, Mary, you have been chosen by God. You are blessed and highly favored. He says to her, you are going to give birth to a son. Mary, in her bewilderment, says, how can this be? I have never, ever been with a man. We should be encouraged as we read through these stories because they remind us that God watches over his word to perform it. For he says, Mary says, I'm a virgin. And God says, I know. And that is why I chose you. Because I proclaimed a long time ago that the virgin will give birth to a child. And you and I should be reminded as we read these stories that though we may have to wait for a while, God never ever forgets what he has promised. And while we are waiting, we can be reminded that God sees us and that God knows us and that God will indeed fulfill what he has promised to us. And so as you and I go back and we review and rehearse and reread the stories again, like we're reading them for the first time, our hearts should be encouraged so that whatever despair we might be living in, we might be reminded that our God is a God who always comes through and he always provides, and it shall stir up in us a revived hope that God can work through all kinds of circumstances with all kinds of people, whether they are old or young. That's one of the things I love about the Christmas story. Zechariah and Elizabeth are old. But God said, you're not too old for me to fulfill my word for you. Mary is young. God says, you're not too young for me to use you. I've got a work for you. It is as though he covers the ages and says that all that I have created will sing glory to my name and will be used for the purposes for which I have sent them. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you as you make your way through the month of December, go back and rehearse the stories, for they have been given to us that we might have hope. Amen. I'm not making that up. If you're in chapter 15, there's a verse there. There's a verse there in chapter 15, verse number 4. chapter 15 of Romans, verse number 4. It's a verse that is interesting that really puts a nail in what I was trying to say. And Paul makes it plain. He says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Amen. What Paul was saying was that when you go back and you read, and even if it's reading of the Christmas story, the scriptures were written so that you can be encouraged, so that you could have endurance, and so that you might have hope. And so Paul is saying, I need you to go back and keep reading and keep reading and understand that as you are reading, you are being encouraged. As you are reading, you are being strengthened. And the very word of God was given so that you might have hope. And so one way that you make sure that your hope remains focused and centered on God is by staying in His word. Amen. He is the source of our hope. It is not self. God is the source of our hope. My hope is in God and in God alone. Why? Because God is faithful. He has never lied. God is not a man that he should lie. God is reliable. What he has declared will come to pass. God is the creator. He is the one who has given purpose to your life and to my life. If I'm wanting to know why I exist, I've got to go to God, who is the creator, to understand why I exist. Can I tell you that Twitter can't tell you why you exist? Facebook cannot help you understand why you exist. There is no media that can help you understand why God allowed you to come into being. But only God himself will help you to understand that he has made you fearfully and wonderfully, and that he has given you purpose. And when you go back to God and rely on God for insight, he will open up your eyes to see and to understand that he has a plan just for you that fits into his perfect plan. So our hope becomes anchored in God. That's important because people will sometimes build you up, and sometimes they will tear you down. Sometimes they can see your potential, and sometimes all they see is your failure or lack thereof. But when God looks at you and begins to reveal who you are, he shows you who you are through who he is. For he says, if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, that you are now a new creation. All the old stuff has passed away. Behold, he has brought something new to bear in your life. And when you will trust your life in his hand, you will discover that God is able to do much with little. Amen. So God then becomes the hope, or the focus of our hope. Here's another thing I want you to know. Not only do we focus our hope in God, not only are we encouraged by his word, but also we have hope in what God has promised. Amen. That is where, when you start talking about if your hope is becoming a little bit weary, you've got to start thinking about what God has promised. And if you can start thinking about what God has promised, it renews your hope, because now your hope becomes fixed again on the right things. God's promises are not limited by what our eyes see. God's promises are not limited by what our minds are able to comprehend. In fact, God's promises have no limit. And he says that every promise that he has ever made is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In other words, he said that everything that he ever promised was fulfilled in Christ. If you've got Christ, you've got the promises of God. And so he says that when you become a little bit weary, a little bit doubtful, when you become a little bit in despair and your hope starts to dissipate, the way that you fix that so that you begin to overflow with hope is you start to reflect on the promises that God has made. When you are lonely, you can remember that God has promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. When you become disturbed, you can remember that God has promised that the person who keeps his or her mind stayed on him will be what? In perfect peace. When your funds get a little bit low and you're not sure how you're going to be able to meet those needs or make those ends come together, you can remember that Paul declared, Christ shall supply all of my needs according to God's riches in Christ Jesus. You've got to remember the promises of God. God has said what he started in you, he will also see to completion. God has said he sees you and he knows you. And so we stand on the promises of God. And when you and I stand on the promises of God, it then builds up our hope because we have fixed our hope in the right places. God says to his people, as we think about this, God said to his people, there will be a Messiah who comes and he will restore and he will take care of. As God said this, he was talking about Jesus Christ. But you and I remember that this was over centuries and ages before it came to pass. Because God has a plan that will be fulfilled, and not even time can stop him from fulfilling his plan. Why? Because God is the providential keeper of time. Time means nothing to God. Remember when Joshua was fighting that one battle? They began to pray, and it says that the sun stood still and didn't go down. Why? Because God is in control. God said to the sun, now Joshua got some business to tend to. You need to stay up so that he has enough light to finish the work that I've assigned to his hands to do. Because God is the providential keeper of time, time cannot stop the promises of God. Our example for that becomes who? The man of Abraham, the man of faith. God had made a promise to Abraham that said, you will be a father of many nations. God made that promise to Abraham when he was 75 years old. You and I know that time passed from when God made that promise. And by the time Abraham was 99 years old, that word still had not been fulfilled in Abraham's life. And Abraham, along with his wife, had begun to think, man, I'm way too old right now for God to fulfill his promise to me regarding this idea that I am going to be the father of many nations. Not only am I too old, but look at Sarah. She is not going to be able to enjoy the pleasure of motherhood at this age. And God says, do you not know? Have you not heard who I am? Time means nothing to me, Abram. When I say it is time, everything that I have promised will be fulfilled. And you know the story. Abraham, as an old man, gives birth or has a child, Isaac, by Sarah, who is at this time 90 years old. I know I'm going to give you a few moments to just think about that for a minute. This is mind-boggling to us. Imagine what it was like for them. But it's a reminder to you and me that the scriptures were written so that we would be encouraged, that we would be encouraged to endure until the end, that we would not lose hope, even though we have not received that particular thing that we think God has promised for us. He says, don't throw in the towel, keep believing. If you keep believing, you won't be disappointed. For he says, I will come through. It is for you and I to remember that we can trust God. Even though I might not have it yet, we can trust God to fulfill his word. And when we look at Abraham and what God did in his life and how God used him so that Jesus, the Messiah, could come through his line, we can be assured that God sees us, knows us, and he is able to perfect his word in our lives. And brothers and sisters, that is called hope. Hope is when you stand firm on the word of God, unmoved, unshaken by the circumstances. When you stand firm to believe that God is able to do exactly what he said he would do. That's called hope. Where is my hope? My hope is in the Lord. Why is my hope in the Lord? Because he is the creator of life. He is the sustainer. He is the great Ancient of Days. There is no force that can come against him. There is nothing that can stop God when God begins to move. And so my hope is in him. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but my hope is in the Lord. I shall yet trust in the Lord my God. Isaiah said that those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. That when you put your hope in God, you will get a return on your hope. Amen. It's a return on your investment. God says, for I see you and I will be with you. Brothers and sisters, you and I can rest assured that as we enter into the season of Advent and we begin to talk about hope and we look at the Christmas story, Jesus coming as a baby, and we look toward his return, Jesus coming as a conquering king, as a ruler, in the middle of that, we have hope. Because we know that God was firm in his promise to send a Messiah, God will also be firm in his promise to send a promised ruler. You and I can look at the circumstances and the times in which we live, and we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be overcome. We can rest in the hope that God is still in control. I don't care what you read. God is still in control. I don't care about what's happening in your life. God is still in control. I don't care about who might be puffing themselves up like they all of that in a bag of chips. God still has the needle that can punch that bag. All the air will go out because why? God is still in control. And so when you and I remember that God is in control, our hope will be renewed. Will be renewed that God will fulfill his plans for our lives. We'll be reminded that God is able to do above and beyond our wildest imagination. And so he says in just this verse, may the God of hope. So that's the source, the God of hope. Fill you with what? All joy and peace. Wait a minute, you've got to do something. As you trust in him. So as you're trusting in God, he's filling you with joy and peace. Remember, these are things that are not based upon external conditions. That's happiness, right? I'm happy because of something that might have happened externally. Amen. Joy and peace, these are internal things that come from the Spirit of God. He says, as you trust in him, he's going to fill you with joy and peace. He's dealing with your state of mind, first of all, and your state of heart. He's dealing with that, that no matter what you're going through, he says, as you trust in him, he's going to fill you with joy and peace. Peace means that you're going to be all right with whatever the condition. Why? Because God is with you. And when God is with you, he's more than the whole world against you. Amen. When you're remembering that God is with you, you don't get caught up with the circumstances. You're just remembering these circumstances don't mean anything to my God. And so you have a state of peace that comes upon you. Peace is beautiful because when you have a state of peace coming upon you, that means you can sleep at night. Amen. Amen. Now that bill wasn't paid, but that's all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be all right. Why? Because I put it in the hands of the Lord and I can trust in him. I am trusting in God. And he can give me the answer, the solution to the problem that's in front of me. Why? Because he is also the God of all wisdom. He's not just the God of hope. He's the God of all wisdom. And he can give me all the wisdom that I need to deal with whatever problem that I have. And so he's going to give me a state of peace. So my mind is not troubled. My heart is not troubled. And you know what the Bible says about the heart that is at peace? It gives life to the body. And so when God is able to give you a heart that is at peace, now it's going to produce healing in your body. Didn't you know that when your peace is disturbed with stress and the concerns of this life, that it starts to mess with your body? And God says that as you trust in him, he will fill you with both joy and peace. That means that he's going to let your heart be at peace and at rest. And when your heart is at peace and at rest, it is going to produce life in your body. Oh, that's good to me. Amen. That's good to me. That's better than any medicine that they can prescribe that I would have to go to CVS to pay for. This thing free. Amen. And so he says that he puts it at peace. And then he says he gives you joy. And so now there's going to be an outward expression of an internal condition. Your mind is at peace. Your heart is at peace. And now there's joy. What does that look like? That looks like when I greet you, I don't get a hmm. Amen? Amen. When we greet one another, we greet one another with a psalm, with a hymn, with a word of thanksgiving. Amen. Oh, no. All my problems ain't been solved. But the problem solver has my problems. And therefore, when I greet you, I can greet you with joy. Yes, this is a beautiful day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not based on my conditions. It's based upon the God whom I serve, and because I've trusted in him, he has caused me to overflow with joy. So there's an expression that comes out that demonstrates how I feel. And it's not that I got a face that's toe up from the flow up. Hey, 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 hey. Instead, it is an expression of joy because God is with me. Words of joy because I'm putting my trust in him. Even in the midst of my complaint, I begin to praise God. Amen. You ever been there? Telling somebody about what you're going through, and in the midst of going through it, you start remembering just how good God has been to you while you've been going through it. And while you're trying to tell them about what you've been going through, all of a sudden you start giving thanks to God because he's been with you in the midst of what you're going through. And suddenly, as you begin to renew your trust in him, you are filled up with joy and you say, but God. You end all of that and you say, but God is able to do above and beyond, but God. Because as you trust in him, the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace. And his objective, his goal, is so that you may overflow with hope. Amen. Listen, brothers and sisters, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I should never be without hope. Amen. No matter the situation, no matter the condition, that when folk encounter you and me, what they ought to encounter is hope. Because we know from whence we have come, we know from whence we have been delivered, and we know that God is able to do some amazing things. And there is no situation or condition that you and I ought to look up on and be lost without hope. We are to be, as they say, hope pushers. Amen? Amen. We ought to be pushing hope. That means that we're pushing Jesus Christ wherever we go. Because when you can get him to be the center, the focus, then that brings hope to that individual that might be listening. God is our hope. This first Sunday of Advent is nestled between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Those two shopping days where those who are in the market for either Christmas gifts or good deals are looking for the best buy for their money. Black Friday, stores claim to have the lowest prices just for a little while. Got to get there in order to get the deal. At least that's the way it used to be. Folks would have to wait early in line at their favorite store to get in to get their best deal. All day, they just don't have the merchandise. They run out. A limited supply of what they are trying to offer for this incredible price. Then Cyber Monday, you're spending time online again looking for what is supposedly good deals so that you can get that best gift for that person that you might be shopping for or for yourself. Amen. But in the middle of that, we have this first Sunday of the Advent season that begins. And it talks about hope. They're hoping for a good deal. But when we talk about hope, we're hoping for something else. We're hoping for the power of God to be manifest in whatever it is, whatever condition we have, so that what God has promised will be fulfilled in our lives. And here's the wonderful news that I have for you today, is that you and I don't have to wait for stuff to be marked down. Because our hope has already been purchased for us. And it's provided at a discount price already. In fact, all it requires from you is a little bit of faith and belief and a little bit of trust. He says, if you will have a little bit of faith, belief, and trust in the God who is able to provide hope, in the master merchandiser, he says that he will give you all that you need to sustain you because he has already given you everything that you need for life and for godliness. And so as you and I close this day talking about hope, I want to share with you the lyrics from a song that you are so familiar with. No, I'm not going to sing it. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it, right? Because it helps you and I know where we can get our hope from. It reminds us of where our hope is anchored in. And the fact that because it costs us nothing but faith, trust, and belief, that you never have to worry about it running out. Amen. Listen to this. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Listen, he says, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And we talk about the advent because there's a second coming, right? He says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. His righteousness. Amen. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that he is a firm foundation. We thank you that when our hope is in him, that our anchor holds firm, that no matter the winds that come to toss us to and fro, as we are anchored in him, God, we are held firm. And we thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his blood shed that we might have life. Thank you for his blood that paid the debt that we could not pay. Thank you for his blood that washed us clean of all of our sins and brought us forgiveness. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for his righteousness. For you say that Christ became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. We thank you that we have been clothed in a robe of righteousness. And therefore, our hope is firmly put in Christ, in him alone, in his blood and his righteousness. Thank you for the hope that you have given us through a trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer, who shall forever stand. In his matchless, magnificent name, we say thank you and amen.